Does the phrase, "Mom, I'm bored," make you cringe and long for the days when kids found entertainment exploring nature, playing with the neighbors, and begging for just 5 more minutes in the great outdoors? Would you like some ideas for how you could make time outside more attractive to your child than screen time? Well, then we are so glad you're joining us for today's episode. I'm your host, Katie Morgan, and welcome to Parenting with Ginger Hubbard. Ginger is the best-selling author of Don't Make Me Count to Three, Wise Words for Moms, and I Can't Believe You Just Said That. She speaks at women's events, parenting conferences, and homeschool conventions across the country. You can check out her parenting resources and find out when she's speaking in or near your area at gingerhubbard.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support our ministry, one way you can do that is by purchasing Ginger's resources directly from her website instead of other online retailers. And stay tuned until the end of this episode to receive a discount code on your purchase at gingerhubbard.com. Another great way to support our ministry is by helping us get the word out about our show. You can do that by leaving a rating or a review wherever you listen to our podcast. Thank you so much for your support, listeners. This enables us to further our mission, to help parents reach the hearts of their children for the glory of God. Do your kids just love getting mail? Do you go to the mailbox with them and sift through the mountain of paper, like coupon for mold removal? Yeah, don't need that. Hopefully. Electric bill. Ouch. Bathing suit magazine you didn't request. No thank you. But what if your kids went to the mailbox with you to find an engaging current events magazine just for them, presented from a biblical worldview? God's World News is just that, and so much more. They offer bi-monthly print magazines and corresponding online content that will walk your kids through current events in age-appropriate ways, from toddlers all the way to teens. Subscribe at gwnews.com/ginger. Again, that's gwnews.com/ginger. Well, hey there, Ginger. It seems like over the years we've gone from kids rushing outside to play after finishing their school day to kids instead rushing inside to get their hands on their favorite digital device for entertainment, basically until dinner time. And you know, Ginger, that nothing gets me more excited than talking about ways to keep kids off of screens. So I'm really excited to talk to today's guest, who we've wanted to have on for a long time, Ginger, but why don't you tell our guests about her?
Sure. Jenny Urich is a homeschooling mother of 5, the founder of 1,000 Hours Outside, which is a global movement designed to reclaim childhood. Along with her husband, Josh, Jenny is a full-time creator and curator of the 1,000 Hours Outside lifestyle brand, which includes a robust online store, an app, and books. She also hosts the 1,000 Hours Outside weekly podcast. Jenny is a thought leader in the world of nature-based play and its benefits for children. She lives with her family in the Ann Arbor area of Michigan. Jenny, Katie, and I have wanted to have you on our podcast now ever since we met you and heard you speak at a Teach Them Diligently homeschool conference a couple of years ago. We just loved what you had to say about the value of sunlight and the benefits of children having unstructured playtime outside. So we are just so excited to have you on with us today. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm so thrilled. Literally, it's just like a fun excuse to hang out with the both of you.
Yeah. Awesome. That's what we were thinking too.
Well, Jenny, will you start by telling us a little bit more about your background, your family, and the 1,000 Hours Outside movement and how that got started?
I'm just a mom. I mean, that's basically all the background, right? You know, you have these things that you become passionate about and sometimes they grow and you don't really expect that. But that's really, truly, I mean, I'm a mom. My room is an absolute mess. Our youngest daughter is trying to build her Lego in like the 1 square foot of floor space that's still left over there. You know, I'm not quite sure what we're doing for dinner. We were just talking about that. You know, it's coming. It's coming every day. But, I struggled as a young mom when we first had kids because I felt like I was failing constantly. When you have these kids and then what are you going to do for the whole day? And I was planning to be amazing and nail it. And then I just like really didn't. I was like, they're crying. And I don't know. It was so hard. You try and take them to all these different programs. And it is like a Herculean effort to get kids out the door and in their car seats. And you've got all these things. And I tell people I wouldn't even drink water because I thought, well, heaven forbid I have to use the restroom. Like, what do you do with your kids when you have to go to the restroom? Like at the library or at the zoo? I think it was like constantly dehydrated for like 7 years. So, you know, this is a thing. And what I found is through Charlotte Mason, but a friend of mine introduced me to Charlotte Mason. And when she introduced me to Charlotte Mason, she did not tell me that Charlotte Mason was from the 1800s. So I'm so glad because I wouldn't have paid any attention. I'm like, why are we talking about someone from the 1800s? But Charlotte Mason was an educational philosopher who had a lot of ideas that have stood the test of time. Some have and some haven't. But one of the things that she says or said is that, because she's from the 1800s, kids should be outside for 4 to 6 hours a day whenever the weather is tolerable. Whoa. And I thought, well, that's outlandish and ridiculous. Who does that? Who has the time for that? What are the kids going to do? What a waste of time is really what I thought. But I didn't say it out loud, you know, because I didn't want to be a jerk. It's like, oh, interesting. Okay. So then this friend says, well, we should try it. I was like, oh, no, I don't want to try that. Like, have you been to the library? It's like 45 minutes. The kids are crying. Like, everybody was fighting over toys. Nobody wants to listen to the story. I'm having to like dole out snacks. I'm sweating. You know, I have to pee, but I can't go. I mean, what are we going to do? You know, this is a thing. But I said yes, because I was, you know, you're like desperate for friends in those years. It's so hard to have relationships on top of everything else. And I had a day that completely changed my life back in 2011. Here's the day. I went to a park for 4 hours. That's it. You know, we met at 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. That was the plan. My friend said, don't bring anything. I'm like, don't bring anything. Like, shouldn't I bring my water table probably, right? Some toys and action figures and books and crafts. And I can bring some Play-Doh. And I mean, you know, she's like, no, you bring a blanket and a lunch. Oh gosh, this is going to crash and burn. What are these kids going to do? And then they just played. Who knew? What a story. They played with each other. You know, there was I had two that were preschool toddlers. So did she. We each had a baby that would like nurse and sleep. And we sat under the trees and it was sunny and it was beautiful. And it was like the first time that I could catch my breath. It was the first time that my blood pressure dropped. And it was the first good day I had as a mom. That's it.
So it all started from that day in the park.
Yeah.
What I hear you saying is that this friend deserves total credit for 1,000 hours outside.
Yes, her name is Angela. She's credited everywhere. And Charlotte. I'll also credit Charlotte. But yeah. You know, what I found in time was that when you take your kids outside and you do not have to, like you talked about unstructured play, you don't have to structure it for them. Like the pressure is off. It helps them grow in every facet of their development. It helps their physical bodies, obviously, but in all sorts of ways that nobody even talks about, like down to their eyesight and their shoulder girdle and their immune system. It helps them physically. It helps their cognition, which is incredible. Play is learning. It helps their social skills, which is super important. Kim John Payne says, the primary predictor of success and happiness in life is our ability to get along with others. So all that's happening outside helps emotionally and it helps kids spiritually. If that's something that you're looking for, God has given us his principles, his precepts. All of these spiritual laws are displayed in nature. And so it gives us a chance to talk to our kids about those too.
Amen.
Love it. Jenny, your book, Until the Streetlights Come On, is a kind of return to yesteryear where generations of kids played outside unsupervised and without structure, like you mentioned. That's certainly how my generation grew up. I think I'm a good bit older probably than you. At least I think so. But during the school year, I remember we just could not wait for that 3 o'clock bell to ring so that we could get home and get outside. Some of my favorite childhood memories are of afternoons spent playing kickball in the backyard and riding bikes with neighborhood friends. And then summer break was like a get out of jail free card where we got to play outside for hours until all the moms started coming out on the front porch and yelling for all the kids to come in for dinner. So, Jenny, what has changed with kids today? Why do you think our culture has shifted away from outside play?
Well, I think there's several factors. One is fear. And so that started to pop up in the 90s, I think, with widespread stories of kidnappings that maybe weren't happening quite as regularly as it seemed. And so there was this increase in the amount of structure, how much we're watching our kids. The screens became more enticing. The video games look different. I mean, I played Super Mario Brothers and it was like, this has changed right now. It's like a whole storyline. It looks like you're watching a movie. So that changed the immersion. And then I think also coupled with this frantic pace to get our kids ready for college. And that changed because the colleges changed. They have this like ranking system. And so all around the same time, it's all of a sudden these colleges have these ranking systems, and it has to do with how selective they are. That's one of the pieces. So the more people that they can get to apply, the more selective they seem. And all of a sudden, you know, it seemed like, oh, well, that university, it allowed 20% in, but now it only lets in 1%. It's not true. The numbers haven't changed in terms of how many are, you know, actual kids are getting. It's just that more have applied. And so then all of a sudden the selectivity, it goes down. Well, that's so that they can bump up in this ranking system and they make a lot more money that way. So all of this confluence of things, and as kids start to move inside, the outside is less enticing. You talked about that. You know, it's like these kids are begging for 5 more minutes to be out there. Well, why? It's because their friends are out there. There's things to do. And if we want the outdoors to be more enticing than the screen, that only happens when there's other kids to play with. It's not the treehouse that entices them entirely. It's that plus other children. And so this confluence of things, the complete domination of screens that, you know, now they're in our pocket. I mean, when I was a kid, there was only a certain amount of programming you could watch. Mm-hmm. So boredom was built into society, and that's not built in there anymore. It's on the parent's shoulders to make a lot of the decisions, and it's really hard.
Jenny, tell us what you have learned through the years about your kids being on screens, being off screens. How can you speak to this cultural moment we're in? I mean, this is unprecedented. We don't know how to navigate this sometimes. So help speak into that if you could.
It is unprecedented, and we are seeing the unprecedented fallout from it. It's a big issue. It's a big one to talk about because kids are really struggling, like incredibly struggling with their mental health and emotional health and that type of thing. On the front end, we are just trying to fill our life with good things, like fill it with the best things so that there's less time left over for screens. That on the front end is something that actually works pretty well for our family. So we are truly, literally trying to get outside for 1,000 hours in a year. That equates to almost 3 hours a day. And so a lot of days we just run out of time, or there's just a little bit of time. And so that changes the game. It's a lot of work though. It's not easy. It's a simple to understand solution, but it's not easy because there is that component of needing other friends. And truth be told, my kids don't ever want to go outside, but they'll go if friends are going. So that helps with the screens. I mean, people say this is the biggest fight of our generation, is the fight in our homes over screen usage. But I do think it's important to be aware of the actual truth about what's going on. Like, there's a phenomenal book by Victoria Dunkley called Reset Your Child's Brain, where she says that interactive screen use is dysregulating the nervous system. And this is really causing a lot of problems for kids. You know, I think we think, oh, well, it's Minecraft or it's this interactive game, so that's better for them. It's not lazy. But she's saying, no, that's actually your worst bet. Your best bet is to watch a family movie together. But this is not good for their nervous system. And Jonathan Haidt has a book coming out called The Anxious Generation, where he talks about from 2010 to 2015, we've switched from a phone-based child, from a play-based childhood to a phone-based childhood, play-based to phone-based. And the fallout is immense for our children. The girls are struggling with social media. The boys are struggling with failure to launch, video games, that type of thing. And when you take a phone to church camp, or you take a phone in the school system, wherever you're at, these kids are losing out on so many social experiences. They're losing out on all of these skill sets. And also, they're having to manage a personal brand online as a young person. There's always the chance that you could say something or do something or wear something or sneeze or whatever, and it get caught on camera, gets posted places. There's a lot of ramifications here. And I think it's important to be direct and clear and to really think them through when we're making decisions with our kids about screens. It's not to be some uptight whatever, but there are some consequences and they can be significant. And there are kids that are now in their 20s that say, I lost my childhood. I didn't get one. Because every other person was on their phone. The lunchroom was quiet. The passing hall was quiet. And I just didn't get it. And I don't get another chance.
Well, Jenny, what about those times when, you know, we're just worn out as moms and need a break, on those days when we're desperate for a little peace and quiet? And that's just what pops into our head. It just seems like the only way to get that is to allow our kids some screen time. What would you say to the parent who is listening to this and is now feeling like a failure for relying on technology to occupy their child?
Well, I hope they don't feel like they're feeling like a failure, because it's not that. It's not that you are a failure if you use screens, and we use screens in our house. It's really about taking a little bit of a long-term view, which is the more we pacify our kids with screens, the more that they're going to need pacified with screens. Mm-hmm. So if you're the parent that says, look, I need a break, it's that front-end work that is going to allow you in the long run to have a break. And it's a lot, it's hard. Those early years are relentlessly hard, but they don't last forever. They do not. You know, they last a couple years. And you involve your kid with what you're doing. Like if they're going to want to be in the kitchen, they're going to want to do these different things. Give them a bowl of water, whatever. Like all there are simple things. And there's so many resources out there today of simple little things that you can do to help keep young children occupied in a hands-on way that's going to enhance their capacity for boredom. And that's really what you want in the long term. Like that's the best babysitter. The best babysitter is that they can entertain themselves, but you have to wait it out. I mean, I had kids that couldn't play with themselves, you know, they 3 years old, four. I mean, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. It's a long time, but you have that resolve that this is helping their brain develop in those times. You know, you're reading about it, you're learning about it because it is a lot on your shoulders. It's a lot. It didn't
so boredom
used to
is
be.
Good for them, is what you're
yes.
saying.
Yes.
Sometimes we're so quick to try to find solutions for their boredom, but it's good for them to be bored, is what you're saying.
It is good. Well, that's where they develop their creativity and they pull from their inner resources. Luis Fernando Llosa says in this book called Beyond Winning, which is about youth sports culture, he says, when your kids are bored, you have not failed.
Mm. Hmm. Well, I think it's that parents' need for their children to never express any discomfort. And boredom is a kind of discomfort. And then they come to us, you know, it's sort of like when an infant cries and cries and cries. It's sort of the same thing, but they're a little older. Instead of crying, they're complaining and whining. I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored. So, Jenny, your family has spent 1,000 hours outside every year. This is fascinating. For the last decade. So I want to hear from you, what are the benefits of this for the kids? I mean, some of those are obvious, but tell me what the benefits are for parents. And what do you notice in your kids specifically if they have been lacking that outside time?
This is an interesting question because when I was a kid, all the parents kicked their kids outdoors and the parents were not there. And I had a very, you know, it was an extensive, I felt like, period of time where I was jealous of that. I thought, oh my goodness, how amazing, how clean would my house be? You know, how amazing would the meals be? How refreshed would I feel if I didn't have to go? I have to go now because there aren't kids outside. And so it involves this coordination of plans to meet up and the mom is involved, the dad is involved, the parents are involved. And then eventually I felt like, wait a minute, I need this too. In an age that's steeped in technology, I actually also need all of these benefits where I slow down, I remember to be present, because those parents weren't distracted by screens in the home or TikTok or whatever the thing was. And then I'm like, also, do I really care how clean my baseboards are? Like, not really. I have all these foundational memories with my kids. So I'm getting the same benefits that they are. The full spectrum sunlight enhances your health, especially if you are exposed to full spectrum sunlight in the morning. It goes right to your brain through your eyes and your body releases serotonin, which helps you feel good. So you have a happy morning and that serotonin slowly turns into melatonin. It's the precursor. And so you become sleepy at night. I think everyone has had days where they've been outside all day, your head hits the pillow and you're out and you're tired and you sleep really good. So on a physical level, we have over 100 body systems that are dependent on the dark nights and bright days. And we're supposed to be out in that rhythm. So as a mother, I'm experiencing all these new things with my kids. I get to engage with them. We have got, you know, tens of thousand hours of memories together that are unique and that are memorable and different than sitting in front of the television or me doing my own thing or being inside while they were outside roaming the neighborhood. And so there's some really special pieces to that too. I'm not jealous anymore like I used to be because this has filled my life with a lot of good things too. Mm. There was another question, but I forgot it.
No, I think you nailed it. And honestly, Jenny, I find that very encouraging and convicting, especially knowing just maybe a sliver of what you actually do and the time you spend with 1,000 Hours Outside and all the products you and your husband have created and all the amazing, you're publishing books, all the things that you're doing. It's hard to imagine you take this chunk of your day just to spend it with your kids outside. So it's convicting for me because I do find myself kicking them out so I can have me time. But I need that daylight as much as they do. And this is slightly unrelated, but I think I want to charge you, Jenny, with leading our nation in no longer changing the time because it's killing me. Like we just went through another time change and I'm like, why? Why are we still doing this?
Yeah.
I think you're the lady to make this happen, Jenny.
Yeah, I think so too. That needs to be your new soapbox, Jenny. We'll back you.
Ever wondered why traditional math curricula seem like a one-size-fits-all deal? Well, let's shake things up a bit and talk about CTC Math, a program that truly understands your child's unique learning needs. Imagine a math curriculum that adapts to their pace, making learning not just effective, but also enjoyable. No more tears. The interactive questions change in difficulty based on how your child is progressing, ensuring they're challenged just enough, not too hard, not too easy. It's like having a math tutor who knows exactly what they need when they need it. And as a parent, you'll love the detailed reports. You get to see their progress in real time so you can celebrate their victories and understand their challenges. It's really empowering. So if you're ready to give your child's math education a major boost, just visit ctcmath.com and sign up for a free trial. That's ctcmath.com.
Jenny, I think there might be a lot of parents listening right now who wish they would have prioritized spending time outside with their kids early on. And they might be thinking it would be a struggle or even a battle to get their kids outside at this point because they're so used to being inside. But I love what you wrote at the end of your book. You wrote, "Today is the day when you get to choose how you want your family to be." So, Jenny, how about offering a little encouragement along those lines to our listeners who might be feeling like it's too late to help their kids or even themselves develop a new appreciation and love for the great outdoors, for all the beauty that God has created to enjoy during the days?
Well, I'll tell you what, this is what it's like. When you go outside with little kids, you basically are carrying them and everything else. So, you know, it's really beautiful how it can still be refreshing. But when our kids were little, it would be like, I've got one in a backpack and one in the front pack and the other one I'm carrying here. And I'm using my elbow to push the stroller that's filled with all the snacks and all of the extra clothes. And still, that's really special time and really fun. I have extremely fond memories of that. Now that they're older, we can do really cool things. You know, we can whitewater raft. We can mountain bike. I just hiked with my 14-year-old daughter. We were in Colorado for a MOPS thing, and we hiked to Emerald Lake in the Rocky Mountains. And it was uphill, a 1,000-foot elevation. I had to stop every tenth of a mile. I had cleats in my shoes and showed, and we were up in the snow. And wow, it was such an accomplishment. Like, she was totally fine. I was like, we've gone rappelling together. We've gone down the Green River in Moab on a raft 5 days and camped at night. So if your kids are older and you're just starting out, you're in the fun spot. You're in the spot where they can go do really cool things and you can do those really cool things with them. And every time you do it, you are building these memories that they're going to have forever. My daughter will never forget that we did that hike together. She'll remember that for the rest of her life because it's a substantial thing that we were able to do because she's older. So if you have older kids, you're looking for those kind of thrilling things to do with them or hikes, you know, where you're stuck out there for a mile and no one can leave because you're in the middle of the hike. No one's going to come get you. And you have these conversations. And the more you do it, the more kids learn that they do love it and it makes them feel good. And you bring friends. Bring friends. That's one of the key ingredients. Also, they need it for their social skills anyways. But call up another family. Bring good snacks. Bring the things that maybe you don't normally bring and make it special for them in that way. But I think our kids have to have some analog experiences. Otherwise, how are they going to parent? We're the last generation that had that, that had an analog childhood that we can fall back on and say, even though this digital stuff is so enticing, at least I remember. At least I remember playing kickball. At least I remember riding my bike and feeling the wind in my hair and how good that felt. Mm-hmm. How can you become a parent if you've never had those experiences and you don't even know what that feels like for yourself? So you're doing it also as an investment really in your grandchildren or future generations.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, Jenny, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong, but when we first met at the BJU Press Summit several years ago, I sat on the bus with you and we were talking about this, and I was struck by how this whole movement began, but you didn't start out as this super adventurous outdoorsy woman. Is that correct in saying
oh,
that?
Oh, like, so correct. Okay. I play the piano.
Okay.
And I read.
And no, I remember, like, my whole childhood, I was inside organizing my room, which would not surprise no one who listens to our podcast regularly. I was not super outdoorsy, very indoorsy. But I remember just being fascinated that you have this whole movement about being outside, but it's not like you were a mountain biker to begin with, and so this is just where your passion naturally led. This was out of something you saw that you were lacking and started all of this. Is that correct?
And it was really out of desperation as a mother. And if you read the research of what unstructured, and Peter Gray calls it self-structured, because all play really has structure and the kids are structuring it. If you allow your children time and space for self-structured play, especially in the outdoors, but also indoors too, that self-structured play, that this is enhancing like even their neural wiring in their brain. Mm-hmm. So much is going on. So this is a win-win. I found a place where I could let my blood pressure fall, where I didn't feel like I was failing constantly, where I could be present, where I am gaining all of this immense pleasure just from the sun and the leaves and the breeze. And also, it's a great place for kids to grow and develop. And really, the argument could be made that they need that for their optimal growth and development. So it came out of desperation, truly. It was like, I am drowning as a mom. And in one day, that changed. One day. Yep. So we dropped all of those programs and I'm like spinning my wheels trying to get the kids there, and they don't really want to be there. I mean, you take your kids to swim lessons, obviously learning to swim is important. But when you got a bunch of little kids and you take them to swim lessons, it's like the one that's in the pool doesn't want to be in the pool. And the one that you're holding on the lap for the next lesson wants to be in the pool. And you're like, this is awful.
It's a nightmare.
It's like, okay, well, I mean, I don't know. So you're done. I felt like I was so tired every day by like 11 in the morning and it wasn't even lunchtime. Like, oh my goodness. I'm like, I call my husband, like, can you come home? He's like, no, I got like six more hours. Nah, you know, whatever. It's hard. But this one thing changed the whole experience for me. And then also it really was noticeable. I mean, my kids were sleeping better, eating better, playing together better. Mm-hmm. Immediately, we haven't needed a doctor's appointment since 2011.
Wow.
But I've got five kids. You know, we're going constantly for stuff. I mean, it's really helping in these sort of immeasurable ways, but ways that are still very important. Mm.
Okay, can I ask one more selfish question? Because I have so many. But I want to know, what is your favorite adventure you've done with your whole family? Well, tell me something adventurous to put on my
bucket. Oh, I love being on the water. My favorite thing is to be on the water. So our youngest daughter, this is what I'm saying. Our youngest daughter, she just turned 7 last summer. And so we've been able to go whitewater rafting. I mean, this is like a thrill. You got to be a certain age, right? And we went down the New River. We actually went and saw Estee Smith. It was like a complete, who wrote the Green Ever series. So it was completely last minute. No one had invited us to do anything for 4th of July. And so I was feeling a little lame. Also, maybe I could have invited people to do something, but you know, sometimes you're just like sitting around waiting and I'm like, nobody's invited us. So we, like the day before, we were like, you know what? It was a 6-hour drive. We're going to go to West Virginia. We're going to spend 4th of July out on the river. You know, it's never crowded out on the river. And I texted Sam and I was like, hey, we're coming tomorrow. And he was like, bring everybody over for dinner. I mean, like totally last minute. We're a family of 7. Plus we had a friend with us.
Wow.
So there was 8 of us. We went over for dinner. We had such a great time with them. And so my preference is to be on the water. I like tubing down the river, you know, or a canoe or a kayak or anything like that. So that's my first love for sure.
I love the water too. Yep.
Now is the part of our show where we give a quick tip for parents. And today's quick tip is courtesy of Jenny. What do you have for us today, Jenny?
Oh, this is hard because I already gave my tips.
It can be any tip. Cooking, cleaning.
I have nothing else.
Nothing else.
I lose.
That's okay.
Is there a sound that's like, wah, wah? I will say this. I do not regret any of this time that we've spent outside. There's never been a time that we've gone that I have regretted it. And you don't remember, I guess I would say that this is not really a tip, but it's a piece, it's a word, that our house is messy a lot. We've got these 5 kids, and was especially messy when they were younger. I don't remember any of the messes. In like particular. I can't be like, oh gosh, oh yeah, March 4th in 2014, that playroom. I mean, it was just a total mess. You know, you don't remember that, but you do remember. You remember even like the simple park experiences. You remember who you were there with because it's a full sensory experience. And I do not regret the fact that our house is a little messier and that I left some things and let them drop in order for us to go be together and spend time outside, because our life is so full and we have these thousands of hours of memories together and thousands of hours where the kids have spent jumping off of things and building their skeletal structure and playing together and working on their social skills and learning how to negotiate and all of that. And it really matters. It shows up as they get older and you are bonded. You're really bonded. And the mess that you left, the whatever it was, you had dishes in the sink one night and you went to the park instead, you're not going to remember that.
Right.
You're just going to remember that you were together and you had all of these experiences.
Yes. Yeah. So your quick tip is to prioritize the things that ought to be prioritized.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ginger. I needed that.
Well, listeners, if you have a quick tip for our show, we would love to hear from you. It can be any random tip about cooking, housekeeping, something you do with your kids, ideas for fun date nights with your spouse, anything at all. We would love to share your ideas on the podcast. Just go to gingerhubbard.com/quick tips to submit those.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for your willingness to share your insights and encourage us today. Where can our listeners go to connect with you and find out more about you, your ministry, your resources, all the things?
Ginger, I just love that you took my whole thing and you narrowed it down to 6 words. What? I was like, oh, okay, that's what I was probably supposed to do.
Oh, that's great.
That was so good. You know, I am not a creative person. So we're talking about background. I've got like a math background. So I'm not, so everything we have is called 1,000 Hours Outside, except for the brand new book. I literally have 3 books that are all called 1,000 Hours Outside.
I noticed that on your table last year. Yeah.
But I've got a 1,000 Hours Outside, the podcast. We have an app where people keep track of their time outside. It's like $4. People love it. It's got a little timer. You get badges, a journal feature in there. And we have our website where we have a lot of free resources. We actually keep track on a paper tracker of how much time we spend outside. It's a tool where we're giving kids a chance and we're modeling to them. How do we fill our lives with what we want to fill it with first and leave the leftover time for screens instead of the other way around? The new book is called Until the Streetlights Come On, which is about how play gives us a better today and a better tomorrow. We do not have to sacrifice today for the sake of tomorrow. It's a message of hope.
Awesome. And they can get all of those things and find out all of that on your website.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have to disagree with Jenny majorly, because when you go to her table, her booth at a conference, you can see the products she and her husband have created are so visually gorgeous.
Oh,
you
I know it. I love her table.
Extremely gifted and extremely creative. So
I was going to ask you to come decorate my table, because yes, your table looks so
incredible.
Much more creative. Mine's all boxy Aww. And unified, and yours is just gorgeous and appealing. And
it's so and any product, I mean, we've bought several things. In fact, the kids knew about you already because I bought so much of your stuff at the last conference. Yeah, all the products you guys sell are just so beautiful and well done. So I would encourage our listeners to go check out your website.
Definitely go to her website to check those out. And we'll put links to all of those things in the show notes so you can easily find them. Also, listeners, I think now is a great time to mention that Jenny and I will both be speaking at the Teach Them Diligently Homeschool Conventions coming up next month in May, one in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And let me just pause right there, Katie. I know we've talked about 1,000 hours outside here, but you are still not going to convince me to go to Dollywood with you guys again. I'm not going to Dollywood again.
Oh, we ran into Jenny's family there. At Dollywood.
Yeah, well, Jenny, the thing is, her kids convinced me to ride every single roller coaster at Dollywood. Oh. So I've already done that. And I know Katie's going to use this whole episode against me to get outside and to go to Dollywood again.
Let me insert. There's 2 other places that you could go instead of going to Dollywood if you don't want to ride roller coasters. There is a place, put it in your Google Maps. It's called The Sinks, S-I-N-K-S. And it is this stunning place where you can go swim, you can jump off into the water, and it meanders back down this creek. Yeah. It's shallow. The kids played there for hours. It's within driving distance of the Teach Them Diligently conference in Pigeon Forge. So we scooted out for one morning and did that. The second thing is you can do the Cades Cove Loop, which is where you can go see bears. And there's places you can get out and hike. It's about an 8-mile loop, and there's like an old church there. And we this is the thing about when you go outdoors. Joel Salatin says, you put yourself like in the way of life, of living things. And when we went and we stopped at this little church down one of the back roads on this Cades Code Loop, and this guy was playing this instrument we'd never even seen before, like never even heard of it. And so the kids said, we sat for 25 minutes and listened to him play this instrument, and everyone was requesting songs. And these are the types of things that happen. They're serendipitous. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. There's a newness and a novelty. So if you don't want to go to Dollywood, but Dollywood's fun too. And they have those like donut-y, we had some sort of bread.
Oh yeah, the cinnamon bread.
We had those. Oh, that was great.
Basket.
That's then fun. We rode a roller coaster.
And
it
if you
wasn't,
go
it
in, in May, it's like their flower festival and it's stunning there. It's but there are a lot of things you could do too that are outside of the area that are free. That's free.
Yeah. So Ginger, we don't have to go to Dollywood. You can go cliff diving with us. And that's what, you'll be fine.
Because that also goes right along
exactly
with my
what I
fear
said
of
heights.
It's a heights thing.
It's a heights thing. Yeah. That was the whole roller coaster thing. All right.
Diving.
So anyway, we will all three listeners be in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee at the Teach Them Diligently event. And then Jenny and I will also be at the Teach Them Diligently conference in Branson, Missouri. And so you guys can get $20 off your ticket price when you use the code GINGER at teachthemdiligently.net. Whoa. And then I also have two homeschool conferences coming up in Texas and one in Iowa. And you guys can find out more information about how to register and receive discounts on these events in the show notes.
I want to tell our listeners, I'm going to put a link to the video that Jenny did with... Her name has just left me, but she's really very crunchy on Instagram.
Oh, Emily.
Emily, you guys are hilarious together. If you guys don't follow Really Very Crunchy or Jenny on Instagram, definitely do that. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. Aww. But
she just came out with a new book.
Yes. She's hysterical. She is so funny. And I like her message as well. Jenny, can you leave our listeners with a final word of encouragement?
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off something that was just said. When you're talking about marriage, and I don't even know how that got woven in, it might have been some other thing, but there's a piece here that if you are in the stage of life where you can't get out for date nights, and I remember being in that stage where I felt like, oh, I can't, like everyone else is doing like this once a week thing or whatever, and our kids were super clingy and our family would help, but our kids were so clingy, it was just a hard season, that when you go outside, because nature occupies your kids and it captures their attention, you get a little bit of a break to talk to your spouse. And so if you're looking for a little bit of that, like, you know, we're really having a hard time connecting. We've got all these young kids. You know, you would go to a park in the evening and take your dinner there, take some snacks, make sure you're away from the busy road or away from the parking lot. And our kids will find things to do and you get a chance to connect with your spouse. And that really helped us through those relentless years of early childhood.
Mm. So you wound up giving two quick tips and two great words of encouragement.
That's right.
So there you go. Double the fun.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Jenny and Ginger. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today. If your church might be interested in hosting Ginger and me for a women's event or bringing Ginger in for a parenting conference, please fill out the contact form at gingerhubbard.com and we'll get back to you with more information. Also on gingerhubbard.com, you can find Ginger's wonderful resources that will help you get to the heart of outward behavior and address it from a biblical perspective. Not sure which resource to get? Well, today we're offering a bundle deal of all of Ginger's resources at a $25 discount. This includes her parenting books with study guides, the Wise Words for Moms chart, as well as the CD and a digital download of her audio series called Reaching the Heart of Your Child. This is a $95 value for only $70. And if you use the code parenting at gingerhubbard.com, you get an additional 10% off this already great deal. Thank you so much for joining us today, listeners. We look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, may God bless you as you seek to reach the hearts of your children for the glory of God.